This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All righty. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I am Steve Ulscher, along with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Rich Ote.
Hello.
And Wei just left. And we got a really interesting show today. I'm looking forward to this one. Actually, I've been looking forward to this one for quite a bit. I talked to this guy, I want to say a few months ago already. It's interesting, you know, when you think about, like, we just talked about in the rant before this, like, near-death experiences and, like, when you die kind of thing, or at least almost dying. I kind of wonder, like, how many people do you actually know? Like, if you were to die, how many people would actually show up to your funeral? Like, for me, I can't believe, like, I think about it, and I'm like, man, I know a lot of fucking people. Like, I didn't realize how many people I actually know till you really just start thinking about, like, how many people do you actually know? But how many people do you actually know? And then, conversely, how many of them do you think would actually show up if you died?
Well, I think that depends on how engaged you were with those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a friend who passed away. He knew everyone.
Mm.
I mean, he was that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that church was packed.
Was it?
It was like 700 people showed up to his funeral.
Were they like happy to see him go, or was this a dry eye kind of thing? Or was this
no,
like,
this was a devastation.
Oh, that he was like one of those guys. People actually liked him.
Loved him.
Because
they don't really like you?
I think that's probably what they'd be like. He was okay.
I might be in town for that. I don't know.
I don't know. It's like, all my children's playing reruns for the next 3 days. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think I'm going to binge them. All right, but this is sort of interesting because we're talking about reinventing midlife dreams, and it's going to be, I don't know. I mean, because it's like at some point I think you kind of hit that that fork in the road, right, where you're going to go like, this is life as I know it, and it's okay, but I'm thinking maybe there's something more. So
midlife dreams, like midlife dreams without the crises?
I'm hoping, because I think that most people end up doing that sort of reinvention when they face that crisis. So maybe this is more of a proactive approach at creating as I forget what Bob's last name is. We got a book called Halftime. But in that second half of your life, basically creating what it is that you want for your life. So maybe this is a more proactive approach than just having something like really kind of dramatic happen, or you wake up one day and you go, what in the world happened to me? Like, how in the world did I get to, like, Rich? Let's talk about, like, Rich, how did you get here, man? I mean, let's be real. I mean, you're ready to reinvent. I can, like, every day you're
like. He does it, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Pachinko ball. Why don't we ask the expert?
That's a really good idea. Let's bring Kevin on, because we could sit here and we could just
conjecture.
Yeah, we can just conjecture on this all day long. So, all right, Kevin, so what exactly does it mean to reinvent the midlife dreams versus like a midlife crisis or that sort of thing? How do you define it?
It's simple. It's really just following kind of the next chapter in your book. And your book, What Is Your What, was probably a big spark that was like an aha moment for me.
Mm.
And, you know, I find people don't realize that there's these little things like epiphanies, or they have, you know, this serendipitous moment, or, you know, a coincidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it's just them tapping in to kind of the subconscious, to the outside world, the spirit world, whatever, saying, hey, this is really truly what you should be doing. It's mm-hmm. only taken them half their life to get there, but they're like, oh, I'm finally tapping in.
Mm-hmm. Don't you? I hate those people who like know. Like, literally, like, from day one, like, out of the womb. Like, you read the book, Kevin, so you know I call them birthers. And, like, I think the majority of the world just, like, hates birthers. Because they just, like, they know, like, out of the womb who they are and what is it they're supposed
to
be doing.
But they still can have some angst around it. They can still have some struggle because maybe their self-esteem and confidence is mm-hmm. not at the level that they'll be able to achieve it. But they have this almost stressor.
Yeah, it's almost like they probably feel obligated, like they have to do that. They can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's something they seem to come back to. So even if they go through those problems and trials and tribulations, they do seem to be able to come back to it,
mm-hmm.
which again, I think just, I just hate those people. I mean, look, all the love in the world to them for those who love them. But for me, I'm out. All right. So, Kevin.
This is what you have to work with, Kevin.
Yeah. This is.
I'm going to send you some love, though, Steve, because some of this that goes on when you think you got that thing set from the time you're born till you die is like it's instilled in you. You've had it all around you, your surroundings, your environment. And, you know, you made an analogy with Gretzky in the book, and which has caught my attention because I'm a hockey guy. I love it. And what it is, you know, from 2 years old, you just had a passion. Well, it's like a little spark, you know, it got a little bit of air and the flame get a little bigger and a little bit more, and hockey was around him and he got more exposed to it and just kept going. And he says, you know, hockey was his, like, got him to where he was. You know, when he retired, it was like, thanks to hockey, look what it got me all my life and everything. But he's in a new chapter in his life as well, and the NHL is not high on his priority list. Mm-hmm. As much as it's respected, it's not there. Mm-hmm. But the surrounding environment just kept fueling the fire. So it's possible, that's why I said, I'm sorry, some love here, it's possible that people who think they have this passion that from birth, you know, oh, this is the only thing. Yep. What happens is that as long as they're in the environment that keeps fueling the fire, mm-hmm. of course they're going to keep loving and live in that passion, and they go, it's great. I've watched people go, they go through life in 20 years, whatever, and then bang, they just stop. Mm-hmm. They go, I'm done. And they walk away, I'm done, everything's good, and go, yeah, because now it's new environment, you want to try something else, and you realize that there's possible something more to life than just maybe what you've been doing.
Yeah, now I hear you. All right, Rich, so if you had to vote, what's the single best thing that came out of Wayne Gretzky's hockey career? What would you say, Rich, if you had to vote? You notice I'm not asking Mary, so I'm asking you. So hey. I think you know where I'm going with this. No, I know you know Wayne Gretzky. I'm not going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that one. But I think Rich knows more than anything else. And, Kevin, you probably know as well. But what is the single best thing that ever came out of Wayne Gretzky's hockey career?
I just love his quote. I mean, I just use his quote of it's not where...
All right, you're going the wrong direction. Kevin, what's the single best thing that came out of Wayne Gretzky's hockey career?
I don't know if there was one thing, but I would say probably being able to make the friends and connections that he did.
All right, we're going in the right direction. There we go. We're going in the right direction.
We got to think more sarcastic.
You got to think more like Steve. Right?
So, yeah.
Like who he married or something.
I warned you,
exactly.
Kevin.
So not just who he married, but the daughter. Have you seen the daughter? She and unfortunately, she's like at least 20-something now, so we can talk about her. Before, everybody just thought these things.
She's married to a golfer.
That's right. She's the
Dustin.
Exactly.
I do know something.
Wow,
Steve,
you go sports girl. And now over to sports with Mary Goulet.
I've always wanted to be a color commentator.
That's great.
Right
yes.
On.
Single best thing to come out of Gretzky's career. All right. So let's do this because we're going to go down this path here, and this is going to be the end of the show, and no one's going to even know who Kevin is. So, Kevin, give us a little bit of an understanding of who you are and how do you pronounce your name? Notice none of us decided to tackle your last name. Because we're all going to try to like butcher it in one way or the other. So, how do you pronounce your last name? And kind of give us the 26-second background.
Yeah, so it's funny because it's a 4-letter word. So I always say to people, be careful. And the second letter is a U. it's Hune, as if it was H-U-N-E. As simple as my name is, kind of like my life has been the same way. I was kind of that birther. I thought hockey was my big thing my whole life, and I made it to pro hockey. I was following the dream. I wasn't a player, or I wasn't coaching or anything. It was director of business development. And then I sat on the board with Hockey is for Everyone, which is the NHL small for grassroots hockey, so small towns trying to help everybody go. And I was like, hey, this is great. I've hit it. And after 4 seasons, I was done with hockey, and I'm like, wow, there's got to be more to life than this. And that's what really started the view as to what's going on. And along the way, I just learned a ton about business. So I don't know if this is you, Steve, but I had this passion chasing hockey, and then all the way I had to put food on the table. So I had to get a job, and I learned all about business, and I was doing consulting and coaching and doing all this stuff, not even realizing I'm just chasing this hockey dream, and left a $100,000 job a year for a $30,000 hockey job, but man, I was living a dream. Mm-hmm. And it was a wake-up call after I got to pro hockey, and I went, oh my God, I got all this knowledge from helping people in business and helping them turn their lives around, and whether it's personal, professional, I thought, why don't I just apply this to my life? Mm-hmm. And this last year has been a deep soul searching to go, is this truly what it is? And that's why when I came across your book, it was like you were talking to me through your words. And I was like, oh my God, we got to connect. Like we're like so in line with what, you know, what's your what? Like what's it all about, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's different. And I, you know, at a high level, I love coaching and I love speaking and I love, you know, inspiring people.
Yeah, man. No, very, very cool. But you got to kind of give people an understanding of what you're doing now, because what you're doing now is you're not just doing, okay, well, I'm not doing the hockey thing. I'm just doing some business stuff. No, you're actually like doing something that a lot of people only dream about doing. Share what you're doing now.
Okay, so my wife had the brainchild that we need to travel across Canada so we can learn our own country. So we packed up, put everything in boxes, put it in the basement, and we were renting a house, and we just stopped our lease, bought a motorhome, and went across Canada for 13 months.
Wow.
And
nice.
Literally went coast to coast, did all provinces and territory, and my daughter's 15, and we brought her with us, and showing her what the country is, and not just learning out of a book. And, you know, it's funny, we just thought, it's just a trip for the three of us. It'll be kind of fun and learn stuff. It has turned into an inspiring story for so many people that we've met coast to coast. My daughter's been on the radio. She's been on TV. I mean, it's hilarious. I'm like, but this is just, you know, this was just a trip. But really what it was is it's almost like the okay for other people to do it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we took the chance and we said, hey, we can do this, you know, and it's not as costly as you think. And it opened the heart to, hey, what is possible in life?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do this. We're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. We'll be right back after this. But what I want to make sure that we do is I want to talk, like, all right, Rich, you missed this because you evidently had nature
you
calling
just
or
left.
Something like that. We just saw, like, right just then and there, we came up with the answers to, like, life's most important question, and you missed the answer. So you're going to have to listen
and
to
the winning lottery replay. Numbers. And,
no, I
for
heard
tonight.
It.
All right, so, but Mary, I want to ask you this when we come back from the break, which is what he did. Could you see doing that with Portia and Sterling? And Rich, could you see doing that with Olivia? And well, of course, I know your answer, but I don't think I could. I don't know if I could do that with my boys. And I don't know.
Nina
really
would kill you.
For sure, right? All right, so let's talk more about that and more with Kevin Yoon. Yoon? Did I get it right? I don't know. More like
Yoon.
Yoon.
Kevin
right.
Yoon.
All right, more with Kevin after the break.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. And we are talking to Kevin Yoon.
I'm right, Kevin, right?
Did we
bang on.
All right. And
100%.
Like, okay, right, thank you. See, I got 100%.
Yeah, you are.
I'm on my game today.
You are on your game, man. You got the sports thing down. You got the name thing down. Man, you look at you. You are like glowing. Oh,
I know.
What happened with you today?
Nothing.
Look at that. She's glowing and blushing. All right, there we go. All right, so we're talking to Kevin, and Reinventing Midlife Dreams is the name of this show. Now, let me ask you a question, man, because you've got a pretty interesting story, really, man, of let's just say, overcoming some serious obstacles in life. I mean, you failed grade 11, which for those who can't add, I believe that is freshman, sophomore. I believe that's junior year, so you failed junior year of high school.
No. In Quebec, that's the graduating year.
That's the graduate. Oh, see, you guys
so
are so much
like
smarter.
Grade 12.
Like you guys push people out. So here's the thing, because it's so damn cold in Canada, they figured you guys are going to live like a lot shorter. You know, you're not going to live as long as we do in the States. So you're like, look, we got to get them out in the world earlier, get them paying taxes earlier, because we need to milk as much from these people as we possibly can.
Right.
As soon as we can.
Okay, you just make this stuff up as you go along, don't you, Steve?
You think I'm wrong? I think there's empirical evidence to support that. So
I love the creativity.
All right. So you failed your senior year. Did you actually end up graduating from high school? Or
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, I did. The second, like, I went back for the second time. So that was a little bit humiliating.
Okay, but you got like the trifecta of fuck ups. I mean, really, let's be honest here. I mean, you failed grade 11. You filed for bankruptcy. You got divorced.
Yep.
I mean, like.
Yep.
Jiminy, dude. Like, and that was all in your senior year. That's yeah. pretty impressive. So obviously you didn't take the second wife on the trips, because when you brought this up to the first wife, she was like, I am not going across the country in an RV with you forever. So I get it. So it all makes sense. So that plan put you into bankruptcy and got and made.
It's okay. Funny.
All right. So, let's go back to this. So the first time you brought this up to the wife, was it your idea or was it hers?
Hers.
No, it's actually hers.
It was totally
hers. Yeah, it's hers. And she says, I want. And basically what it was, and you know, you were saying before the break, you said, you know, can I go on with my family? But if your driver, you know, for life with your family is, I just want to give the best opportunity to my children.
Yeah.
That's how my wife was. That's what her premise was. She goes, I want my daughter to have the best experiences so that when she makes her decisions, she's got as many facts as possible versus, you know, hearsay. So, Steve, you go to, let's say, UCLA, and I go to, you know, University of Michigan, and I say, oh, you know, that's a better school, and you say, that's a better school. Well, we'd have to go to each other's school to say, you know, which one do we really like?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we like about the school? Well, when you're in high school and you're not even going to university, it's the blind leading the blind, right? Yeah. One friend goes, oh, I'm going to this university because it's better. And they all go, oh, really? Oh, okay. And then they kind of follow along. My daughter had the opportunity on this trip not just to see landscape and culture and food and cities, but she got to visit every university in Canada and go, hey, is this for me? And she's 2 years away, but she gets to go. Is this what I really want to go? Yeah. So that's my wife's thinking about it, going, it's really educational bound. And that's how the trip started. It turned into a heck of a lot more, but it's really, you know, all about education.
So it started as like a college tour, like where you want to go to school. And then we were like, you know, forget it. Let's just actually make this into an educational trip altogether. So, all right. So, Mary, would you do that with Dave and Portia and Sterling, or at least just with Portia and Sterling? Could you see doing that 13 months in an RV? Now, Kevin's daughter was 14 when you did this, right?
15 years old.
So she was 15 when you did. So almost like right dead center where you are now.
You know, we had 32 footers, so we spent a lot of time camping and traveling places in that motorhome, and it's great. I think traveling around in the States more so like what he did, like Kevin, what you've done, that would be awesome. I don't know if I would be able to take 13 months off at this time.
Right.
But yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Would you do it, Rich?
I said at the break, if someone sponsored me, I'd go right now.
Kevin,
want to start a caravan, Kevin?
Kevin didn't have a sponsor, man.
Like, what do you mean?
But
why can't you have a sponsor? Lay's potato chips on the side of my thing. I'll take it right now.
Wrap that motorhome.
Wrap the motorhome.
There you go.
32 feet.
The movie RV, right?
Right. I see nothing wrong with that at all. All right. So
you know what? You could do it, Rich.
Rich could totally do it. Because, like, you're just that kind of guy. Like, you could literally make, you know, I mean, you could make a dollar stretch. I mean, like, me, if I had, like, a budget for that, I would be blown, like, on the first 6 miles of the trip. I'd be like, you know, we got pork rinds. We got, I'd just buy everything in that convenience store.
Says the guy who cuts his sponge in thirds.
That is true, actually. That is true. I see no reason to have a 6-inch sponge. Doesn't make any sense. All right, so let me ask you this. So, on the course of this trip, what, like, there's obviously a lot of highlights. Name like the single, what's like that biggest, I mean, for 13 months, I'm sure there are a lot of amazing stuff happened, but what's the one thing that really stands out for you, and how do you think that applies now to your life, your wife's life, and your daughter's life?
For me, there isn't one thing, like, there's so many different things by category, but if it was one thing, it would probably be the fact of learning all about natives and First Nations, a fact that Canada is a very young country. So, you know, people say 150 years old. The First Nations plus Natives, Indians, they've been here like 8,000 to 10,000 years. And we didn't learn the detail in school that we were exposed to as we were traveling literally coast to coast and became friends with some of them and heard about the history and what things went on. And it was a respect factor that, think back 3,000 to 4,000 years ago, the way they lived, and they didn't have what we have today as far as technology, yet their process and mindset about doing things for 7 generations to come is far beyond sometimes what we do today. Think of North America, how we all live. And it was just mind-blowing to hear how they respect nature, how they believe that they are, you know, they're here as a part of nature versus we go, oh, that's our land. They go, I'm a part of the land.
Mm-hmm.
It was like just small little innuendos, but it was a respect factor. And I thought, you know, it kind of humbled me that hey, I got zero power. I'm a nobody. Like, the earth doesn't need me. Mm-hmm. I need the earth. So I better learn to respect it, you know, that kind of thing. And that's probably been like one thing, but off the top of my head.
And nothing says I respect nature more than driving up in a 32-foot
no, RV. 37.
37. Quadruple 37. Slide.
Did that's hard to get in a natural park or
man, like the national park. The natives were like, oh, my God. Like, there's, like, they could see, like from miles away, they could see, like, this vision.
The Griswolds.
Like, starting to grow, like, bigger and bigger on the horizon. And, like, and they're all sitting around the fire, and, like, there's this thing coming at them, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger.
That's
so
it.
So they welcomed, so I guess I'm a little unclear, because I figure, like here, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think if Rich like drove into like a Native American kind of, you know, what do they call those things? There's a what do they call those things? The
well, a reserve,
casino.
Yes, a casino.
Oh, casino.
A land, a burial land. What do they call that thing? There's like a what
sacred
is it?
Reservation. Reservation.
Reservoir.
Reservation.
Reservation. That's it. I have reservations about their reservations. Right. But like Rich, I think if you drove up, man, and just like we're like, hey, I'm just here to check out your culture. I mean, they wouldn't. I don't know, Rich, man. I don't know if you'd be. So for Kevin, obviously, Kevin just has like that nicer kind of way in him and his water.
No,
no.
Steve, just to clarify, a lot of the differences between U.S. and Canada is in terms of the reservation or how First Nations plus natives will live. Like in British Columbia and the Yukon, the western part and northern part of Canada, it's not so much that it's reservation. They just live amongst, you know, everybody else. So you can have daily interactions, whether you go to a museum, whether you go to a powwow because they invite you, whether it's an open door event that's going on and they share things with you, or whether we just learned it from a museum reading about different things. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we went to reservations so much as it was we just happened to we'd be in a town, you know, population 300. Well, 50% of it's First Nation. So you'd go to the grocery store or you'd go to the museum and somebody would be talking to you and they were First Nations and they'd be sharing you some of the history and stories that went on.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So I mean, let's do a little roll call here. So I'm 46. I'll be 47 this year. Rich, how old are you? You're 40.
You're older than I am. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. So how old are you right now?
I'm 48.
What?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yes.
Okay, man. All right. Now you look good for your age, Mary. How old are you?
What, really?
Yeah, all right, fine. So let's just assume.
Don't ask a girl.
All right.
Face for radio. God. How's that?
All right. So let's just assume we're all pretty much in that same ballpark age-wise. Now, what I mean, because this whole midlife thing that we're talking about, which I think is very real, what do you think is going on so that so many people sort of in this 40-something-odd range kind of hit that point where they're like, okay, what on earth am I really doing here and why am I here and what should I be doing with my life? Why do you think people kind of in our brackets are hitting us? And we got it about 60 seconds before we got to hit the break.
Yep.
And so we'll do a quick answer and then we'll cover more after the break. But just a quick take on why do you think people around our age group kind of hit that wall?
Well, especially at this time, so 2016, you know, you go back 30 and 40 years and what was instilled and what was around us as lives is you were going to have this kind of lifestyle. You know, this is what you would end up being. So by the time now you're hitting the 45 mark to 50, I'm 52, and it's like, man, like I'm not where I thought I was going to be, or life is not the way I thought it was going to be. I thought it was supposed to be like this, and we were very impressionable at a younger age. Now, not that the younger ones aren't, but I don't know about you, but I've seen 10 and 11-year-olds that go, yeah, if you do this to me, I'm calling 911 or I'm calling the police. Well, if an adult said something 30, 40 years ago, that's like, okay, we'd have to listen. Mm-hmm. You know, like, now I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying the times kind of changed to where we're at today.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. All right, so let's do this. We'll take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio as we're talking to Kevin Huhn about reinventing midlife trees. It's the only way. I actually wrote it down like H-Y-U-N just because
that's
like,
not even close to
Huhn. Isn't that like that's like kind of the not even close. All right. And we got to actually find out like how do people get more information about Kevin? We got to ask him that because that man is like a ghost online. Like we've tried to.
Well, teensacrossamerica.com.
I guess that's probably the
best. Teensacrosscanada.com.
Canada. We're going to start a competitive. We're going to start a competitor to Teens Across
Rich
America.
Rich is going to start America and meet up somewhere at the border.
Sounds like a plan. All right, more on Reinvention Radio with Kevin Huhn right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Merry Will Edwards today. Steve Olscher hanging with Kevin Hune here as we are reinventing midlife dreams. And actually, Rich, you had a pretty poignant question for Kevin that none of us dared to ask. So you're the one, man. Mike's all yours, brother.
Yeah. So are you getting paid to do this, or is Shane Michaels RV's sponsoring your trip with phone number 705? No,
sorry. So what we did, you know, the trip, and Steve, you're going to make a joke earlier about, oh, we could get this, you can get any trip sponsored. The reality is I just leveraged all kind of the business knowledge and acumen and relationships I had and said, hey, look, we're going on this trip. We're going to be talking to people. You know, do you want to get some exposure out there? Is there something you can do in exchange for us? And some people were like, hey, you know what? We'll give you, you know, some food on your trip. So my buddy owns Liberty Burgers, and he's like, here. And I kid you not, he gave us a box of burgers that took up our freezer. We were eating hamburgers for the first week. It was like, wow, this is great. And, you know, he was like, here, I want you to enjoy your trip. You know, tell people about us. I think the food's good. So I go, sure. When we were out west, we did certain tours, museums, those kind of things. People were like, here, come check it out and then, you know, blog about it or write about it. And we were like, absolutely. So we just leverage what's already out there, and people are always looking for unique stories. Mm-hmm. CBC, big Canadian broadcasting corporation, picked it up, and we were on. My daughter was on the radio. You know, she's not the interviewer, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to do it." She did three times, and then she did TV. Wow. And it was like, "Wow!" I thought this story was just about us traveling and kind of visiting, but it ends up being a little bit inspiring, and then it turns into, well, you know, maybe do a little business on it. No, we didn't make any money on the deal. My wife actually worked a few hours every day, and she was like laptop lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I was able to do, laugh at us you want, it was like soul searching. It was like my journey of learning about Canada, but at the same time going inside and going, so what really do I want to be doing, and how can I help people in the world?
Yeah.
That's the best kind of pay you could get.
Right.
You got therapy.
Yeah, pretty much. It really was. It was probably the best thing I could ever done, and I'd recommend it to anyone. We met some people who said, you know, we were thinking about doing it, and we were like, do it. It's cheap. We'll show you. It's cheaper than you think. It's more, you know, if you can get the time, go for it. I mean, at the end of the day, really, it's about, can I get the time away?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people don't think they can, right? Well, unfortunately, we had two close people die while we were on the trip. And it just reinforced to us, what are we going to wait for? Like another 20 years, and then I'm going to be 70, and I can't lift things, or I can't move easily. And I thought, no way. Like, do it now. Be happy about it now.
Yeah.
Well, even if you're, okay, so with the road trip set aside, going back to people wanting to explore different aspects of themselves and how to express that in life. So if they're stuck at, let's say, working at Qualcomm, that's going to be a more difficult transition for them to say, I'm going to be courageous and give up my big paying job to do something different. And then there's someone like me and maybe these two guys where we're constantly inventing a paycheck based on what we want to do and what we love to do. So I've been doing this. I worked on Wall Street until I was like, one day I said, I'm done. And then I became a holistic health practitioner and did that for like 5 years. I'm like, I'm done. And I just kept moving on. And I think that's helped me get where I am today.
Yeah.
And a lot of it stems from, you know, thoughts and kind of your own vibe or your energy or your emotion, right? And a lot of people don't do that. It's when I get this, I'll be happy versus I'll be happy and then I'll go get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve, your book's What Is Your What? I mean, like, it's so clear. Like, you lay it out so easily. When I was reading this, it was like you were sitting talking to me. And it's almost like everybody needs to read this book because we got it backwards. You know, it's like no, you don't get the job and then everything's going to be all right. It's what's a part of you? What's that pinnacle? I mean, you talk about pinnacles. If anybody gets, like, they're going to get it. When they see the pinnacle, it's like, oh, yeah, duh. You know?
Yeah, and I agree. And we just captured that soundbite, and we'll be pulling that out and putting that in social media now for the next 36 years. But I agree. everybody should in fact read and buy that book. Actually, more specifically, buy the book first, and then frankly, I don't care what you do. But you know, it's you decide to read it, then that's obviously
you have a dark spot on your soul.
The dark spot. I am. did I tell you that it was a drought here for like God knows how long? And the first weekend we moved to Southern California, there was a thunderstorm, and there hadn't been here a thunderstorm in like 6, 7 years or whatever by the time I got here. All right, so let me ask you this. So the people who are thinking about kind of reinventing their life and doing something other than what they are doing, any suggestions, maybe a couple of tips on how to maybe start that process?
Yep, there's the simplest one, and I learned this from, I call you a mentor for me, Steve, but I've got a ton of, like I'm a hockey guy, so I digress for a second, but I'm all about get coaches on your team. You have coaches, the right coach with you, it'll help motivate and steal you. So one guy is really helpful to me, is a fellow named Michael Loger, wrote the book Law of Attraction, and he wrote it 3 years before The Secret came out. And the guy was like kicking himself because he got asked to be on The Secret and he didn't go, and he thought, oh, I missed the boat. Yet he was a home run because Oprah told him, hey, you're the how-to guy. And the one thing he says is get rid of don't, not, and no in your vocabulary. And start saying to yourself, so what do I want? And most people, they know what they don't want. I got a 24-year-old son. I said to him, so how's it going in your business? Oh, this doesn't work, this doesn't work. I said, that's funny. He said, you're telling me all the don't. What do you want? Like, and he looked at me, and he was like, there's almost like a puzzle in his face. And I was like, yeah, you're just like most people who get so focused on what they don't want, they actually don't even think about all the things they do want.
That's really good advice. So don't...
Not and no. Yeah, and get rid of it. Yeah, get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And here's a great thing. Yeah. If you were to go to Google and you actually typed in Google, you know, no football or don't do football, do you know what would pop up? Everything about football. Everything about football. It doesn't, Google doesn't understand the word don't, not, and no. And that's really the kind of law of attraction.
That's
kind of
funny.
Mindset.
So if you say don't do don't, that means you're going to do it.
All three of you right now. Don't think of the Statue of Liberty. Don't think of the Statue of Liberty. What popped in your head? What popped in your head? But that's so crazy, right? What pops in your head? Boom, Statue of Liberty. You go like, no, but I wasn't supposed to think about that. That's right. But you did because the word don't didn't register.
There we go. So don't.
Very cool.
Not
What's your next no. adventure?
Yeah, what are you doing next?
The biggest thing which is happening, and it's been very exciting over the last year and a half, is really just coaching business owners who or people that want to start businesses, and they're kind of in that phase. It's like an afraid stage. You know, you're like, I got this great idea. I think I can do it, but I don't know what to do, or I don't know what stages to do. And in Canada, there are some differences from the U.S., and my feeling now traveling across the country is I got to help Canadians. Yeah, we're one-tenth the size of the U.S., but there's different laws up here, like especially for business owners that, you know, and Steve, you when you talk about people doing things and get a business or do whatever, you're going to base it on what you know in the U.S. And sometimes there are some things that are little nuances different in Canada. And I thought, what if I catered to some of my talks to more Canadian-focused people so they would really understand that there are some differences. And you can't just listen to every U.S. guru. And there's nothing wrong with listening to them, but... You know, like we have a 401k. What's a 401k? We don't have that. You know, we have T4. So what's a T4? You know, like very different words.
Well, let's do this because we want to give people an opportunity to find out more about you. So where's the best place for folks to go?
Ideally, just on LinkedIn under my name, Kevin Huhn, Kevin Huhn. It pops up, and I accept. I think we're close to 5,000 people, and we're just constantly, we're just constantly connecting with people and helping them out.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. So, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us here on Reinvention Radio, and definitely check him out on LinkedIn. And that's pretty impressive. I got to tell you, just picking it all up and saying, I'm going to take the kids. I'm just going to take them out of school. I'm going to, you know, because like a lot of people will just, they will never do that. And maybe this will inspire some folks to maybe consider that sort of homeschooling for a year, or more specifically, sort of like home RVing, I guess, for a year. And I don't know. Could you, Rich, I can definitely see you do that. Mary, you said you've already done it. Me, I don't know. I'll have to think about that, because the idea of being with the kids 24/7 for 13 months.
But they are outdoors, too.
Well, I guess there is that. And then we could
your dogs, too.
And we have the dogs, too.
Oh, my Lord, the dogs.
And we'll just go on some reservoirs and give the kids to the, you know, to the natives to play with and hang out with. So that might make it all work. All right, very cool. So for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast, really do appreciate you guys. We will talk to you next time on Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.